This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
One of the world's great cities, Paris, France. You know it? You've heard of it?
I've been to it.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Très bien.
They've put in a new rule, which is, apart from the absolute money gouging rule that is the 40K zones on Northbourne, the $2.4 million in like a month or whatever it was, which Bit I much. Contributed $330 towards, which...
you put your... I mean,
enjoy,
I still haven't
enjoy the amazing Christmas party you guys have got on the way.
Yeah.
Jeez. Dearie me. Anyway, enough of that bitterness. 40 kilometres an hour. Paris instituting a 30 kilometres an hour rule in on city streets. So there you go. That is the new rule.
In and around Paris.
I believe it's in the metro, like the actual like major CBD. I don't know the layout of Paris. Unlike you, mate, I'm not a globe-trotting veteran of Europe. I've not been to Paris. Is there like CBD or is there like a several little CBDs or what are we talking
about? There's several enormous CBDs.
Okay, so what I'm tipping is they're 30 kilometres an hour now with the cars.
Yeah, okay.
And this I heard it and I went, geez, they want to have some fixed speed cameras. If we could teach them anything as a city, whack in a few of those fixed speed cameras.
There's cash to be had.
There is a bounty of cash to be had. And also, by the way, in Euro, which is tremendous.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? Okay, all of that bitterness about Northbourne aside, what this has got me thinking, 30 Ks an hour, right? That's very fast. I mean, scooters can go 25 Ks an hour, so I couldn't run as fast as one of the scooters going at full tilt. I probably can't run at 30 Ks an hour. But 30 Ks an hour while in gridlock traffic, bumper to bumper, pretty sure I could probably sprint faster than you would get to your destination if your speed limit is 30 kilometres an hour. And also,
walking, the stop-start, you've got to go with the tortoise and the hare type philosophy. It's like you just going solidly at a steady pace compared to someone going fast stop, fast stop, fast stop. History has shown us that you will win.
And this is apparently a measure to not only make people safer in terms of being pedestrians, but also to ease congestion in grand old Paris.
Right.
And so here's my thing to you. What I've discovered now is this is the single greatest way to save with climate change. We just make driving a car so annoying that nobody will want to do it anymore. Because imagine being stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and even when you can open it up, you can only do 30 Ks an hour.
Yeah.
You'd be this is my chance to get a little bit forward. There's a gap. Oh, but now I'm breaking the speed limit because I can only go basically car park speed. That's what you can do, 30 Ks an hour.
I can't seize the gap. Look, this is great, and it would solve climate change. You've cracked it. You've cracked the case.
Just make driving a car super annoying.
Yeah. Do you not see any kind of ramifications that maybe affect people like...
You can't basically get anywhere
quickly.
You and quickly.
I? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you and I who have to be at work by 5.
Yeah, no, that would be annoying.
That means we would have to get up earlier in the freezing cold to get to work at 5.
It's a good point, but we would probably imagine that, though. Imagine having to drive at 30 Ks an hour to work at 4 in the morning when no one's awake, like you and I do.
Highway.
Yeah, you just basically... Like, it could be going a lot quicker than this, guys.
Yeah,
I think this is the interesting thing for me, right? This is the positive environmental bonuses here will be a lot of people will go, well, look, it's just not worth it anymore. I'll get public transport or I'll walk or something like that. And the people that go to work when there is no congestion on the road will look hilarious. So it's really just all going to be absolutely
Everyone
fantastic
wins.
In Paris.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see the live traffic cams of people essentially going the speed of the Flintstones car down one of the world's major cities.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Just taking a little bit of a look at, obviously we're in lockdown for another 2 weeks. It's very much starting with some of these restrictions to get a little, you can play foosball on the 2nd August of every full moon. Because you're allowed to go for what? You're allowed to go for 5 people gathering outdoors for non-organized recreation or activity. And what is non-organized recreation? Because you go further down and you're not allowed to gather outdoors. So you can't sit on a picnic blanket, but you can play a spontaneous game of frisbee. I don't understand. This needs clarification. Quickly, in my opinion.
I think it means it's like if you run a touch football team and you have five players on each team, don't just assume that you can go and play.
Look, the website, I think it's all getting updated as it goes, but it's confusing. Yeah. But one thing I do know is you're allowed to go for your daily walk. You're allowed to go for like an hour of exercise, go out there masked up. And I did that yesterday, Ned, and I went for a little bit of a walk. And on that walk, something happened where I'm like, cool. This is why I've been avoiding nature, because it's majestic, it's wonderful, and it then disappoints straight afterwards. You see one amazing thing happen, and then you know you're never going to see this exact thing again. Yes.
Because I went for... for a walk yesterday. I'm just saying, I went for a walk yesterday, and unless you're talking about like the beautiful weather, what are you talking about? What could you possibly
learn
about? I
saw a real-life echidna yesterday when I went for my walk, and he was just plodding along... Oh, he or she, I don't know. It might have been a girl kidna. And just plodding along, doing like a little waddle. It was adorable. I went up closer to take a photo. It got a little bit scared. It went into like its little ball thing that it does. I was like, oh, sorry.
Oh, buddy. Like Knuckles.
Yeah, I was like, oh, sorry, buddy. That's okay. I'm going to... And then I backed up and then it got back out of its ball and started waddling again. And it was a moment of just being one with nature. And I took a couple of photos and I was overcome with emotion of like, this is just an amazing experience that I've just had outdoors on my daily hour walk, and I walked away from the echidna and I thought to myself, that's as good as it's going to get for the rest of lockdown. There is no way I'm going to see anything more amazing than that on my hour daily walk. That was my absolute lockdown highlight. It just happened and I cannot top it again.
I do feel bad for you because you're not wrong.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I wish I could come on here and be like, oh, no, mate, don't. Like, I've never seen an echidna. Best I've seen is a fox, and I was scared.
Yeah.
I was worried it was going to attack me. But, the most you're going to see is geese, swans, ducks.
Oh, no, see, run-of-the-mill stuff.
All boring pheasant.
Run-of-the-mill stuff next to one of Canberra's many man-made lakes. Ducks. I saw all of that, the water hens. But, yeah, the echidna, that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen again. And the other problem here is too, I then spent the rest of the walk like a 7-year-old. I was just, I walked past some gum trees, assuming I was going to see a koala. Like my expectations are now just way too high. Like I've never seen an echidna in the wild ever before. And then yesterday I saw one and immediately assumed it was going to be a nonstop cavalcade of all of Blinky Bill's friends from that point forward. Like,
tell you what, you should just get back into Pokemon Go, because what you're describing was exactly what everyone was talking like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my god, I went on a walk and there was this insane creature I've never seen before, and I wanted more. That actually is a perfect way to plug this gap.
Yeah, Pokemon Go would be good. It was amazing though, because I must admit, when I first saw the echidna, it was the same excitement as to when you saw like a really good Pokemon in Pokemon Go. Yeah. I like ran over and I was all excited. Then I realized, oh, that's right, animals exist. Like, I probably should just go. If you want to go out and look for real life Pokemon. That's really, really good.
I like that you also said like three minutes ago that you were at one with nature. Sounds like an echidna was at one with nature and you ran up to it and pissed it off until
it
to
out.
The point where
it
got into a ball.
Yeah, so maybe I'm not at one with nature as much as I'd like to think.
Yes.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, at the moment, everyone's plans, especially in Australia, have to be pretty flexible because of everything that's going on.
Oh, yeah, of course.
People are wanting to travel home, me included, who will not be able to do so. So, like, anything that you've booked or planned, people on the other end need to be any kind of understanding. It's kind of like, look, the annoying thing about everything that's going on at the moment is, to me certainly, it felt like we were almost out of it.
Yep.
And then we got dragged kicking and screaming back into lockdowns stuff.
I would dare say that's not just you. No, I'd say that's how everybody feels about it.
Exactly right. But like a thing that I was doing to my therapist a lot about last time when we almost got out of it was like, when does everything start to just like feel normal again? Like when do we start getting back to normality? And a couple in America, I think, are doing this with monetary circumstances or repercussions, I should say. They've invited people to their wedding.
Yes.
Expecting them to come. Now, you get an RSVP, you can either say, yes, you want to come, or no, you don't want to come. That's how they work. Saying no, you don't want to come is fine. People have plans. They can't always make it to your wedding, whatever. But the people that can come, very, very fortunate. A lot of thought goes into it. You're given a specific seating, a specific table. You're given food. You're given drinks and stuff. This couple have decided that if you say that you're going to come to their wedding and then don't show up, you owe them $330.
Tremendous.
Straight up. You will be sent a bill in the mail.
Could not be more supportive of this with some caveats. Yeah. Obviously, emergencies. Say you were, you know, maybe perfectly going into labor or something like that. Then you can't be expected to pay for it. Yeah, but if you literally just flake after you've said you're going to go, absolutely expect a bill in the mail. That's fantastic.
And these people don't seem unreasonable. So it's like, I think it's like case by case. If you said, hey, my wife had a baby, it doesn't seem like they'd be like, well, then were you having a baby? I'm sorry. Like, what the hell? We invited both of you, so we expect one of you to show up.
There's more people to help you eat the food. So that's not any kind of a reason to not be here.
Yeah. What was the baby born when we were getting married? You should have just brought it along. I like it, but yeah, there's got to be some things that you're like, look, I can't come because my state's locked down or whatever.
So places on the internet are obviously not happy with this as a mechanism of keeping people to their word. But look, it's what happens if you make a booking for like a hotel and you cancel too late, or you book an airline ticket and you don't rock up, you still pay. I mean, this is fantastic because they're still going to have to pay for your food that's not going to be eaten by anybody now.
Yeah, it's not like they just say to the caterer, just make one less. The caterer's like, I'm making what I'm making. I don't just make a specific amount of food.
Yeah, this is just, if you're sitting there going, I'm outraged by this, this is appalling, then really, let's get on board for a concept I've tried to get off the ground several times, which is potentially the world's first BYO wedding. So you just bring everything. You bring everything you would like to have at the wedding.
Yeah.
And the best
picnic baskets. Yeah,
exactly. And we might set up, I don't know, like a bunch of air fryers, little mini ovens, whatever you want. We can just work it out. But you cook your own food, and then everyone's happy because if you don't rock up to that, whatever. Air fryers.
No harm, no foul.
Air fryers are going to be there anyway, so it's not like it's that big of a deal.
Exactly right. It will be a tough ask finding a venue that has 1,000 plugins.
Yeah, that's
it needs to have 2,500 outlets.
Maybe if you don't rock up, what we'll do is we'll charge you for the sheer number of power boards that I'm going to have to buy.
Yeah, that's
this is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
There is something that has occurred at a zoo in the Netherlands that has got me sitting here going, yeah, you probably shouldn't run a zoo if that happens. Wouldn't have thought you should run a zoo.
It's baseline criteria.
I would have thought. And that is that not only have two wolves escaped their enclosure, so wolves, but it wasn't the zoo that noticed. It was two guests walking around the park that have just gone, they're not dogs, they're wolves. And I don't think they're supposed to be just walking around. They're not part of
They were just walking around. I guess where else would they be walking around? But yeah, that's really not okay.
They're not part of the guest engagement team. They are two wolves, and they really should probably be where they're supposed to be in the grand scheme of a zoo.
Losing track of animals at all is a bad idea if you run a zoo, but like the fact that they were able to get out of their enclosure and there was nothing in between them and just getting out to the general public, there was no like fail safe of, oh, well, there's a second locked door, or like, oh, well, you have to like scan a card to get through this, get into the wolf enclosure. It was like, nah, straight out onto the street. No worries.
I'm a big fan of the moat concept, you know, like how you got the little moat around some of the enclosures. And that's what they could, I mean, unless they're very good at swimming and then jumping, but who knows? Look, the point is, as you said, the should be some fail safes. I think that once this happens, you don't get to run a zoo anymore. I think you've got to sort of sit back and go, yeah, okay, we were beaten by the animals.
Revoked.
We were beaten by the animals because at its core, the zoo running business is about keeping the animals where they're meant to be. And and I know that from Zoo Tycoon, Sim Zoo. It's the very simple Jurassic World evolution. The whole thing is you're supposed to keep the animals where they're supposed to be.
Keep them contained.
And the guests where they're supposed to be. And if you can make a fairy floss stand near a toilet, then you're going to have happy guests. I understand that from, that's more Roller Coaster Tycoon now I'm thinking about it. But anyway, a lot of my business practices have come from these games. And I think very, very simply, wolves cannot roam around the zoo.
Is there any animal that you could potentially see getting out of an enclosure at a zoo that you were just like, look, slap on the wrist, obviously not good, don't let it happen again, but obviously you don't lose your zoo license.
Yeah, otters. I think that would be actually fantastic if otters could just walk around the zoo. I mean, they're very little, so you'd have to be careful that you weren't accidentally standing on the otters or anything like that.
This is a fake scenario where they're just out and about. Oh, people just are out seeing about, them, and they're just going, hey, and then it's like, obviously not good that they're out, but it's not the end of the world.
I think, I will give a caveat to this zoo. in the Netherlands. We once went to a zoo over in Western Australia where there were dingo puppies, and I'd be happy for the dingo pups to just be rolling around, just be rumbling and tumbling. Dingoes, probably not full-grown dingoes. Yeah, I think that's probably a similar problem to the wolves thing. But the puppies. Actually, that mind, I've seen the Jungle Book. The wolf cubs as well. That would be hilarious. Let's just have
a Mowgli.
A bunch of the little adorable CGI wolf ones, which I don't think exist in real life because they're fake. No. But still, if they're that adorable, let them roam around. I say.
So essentially, any animal's allowed to roam free if they're cute as a baby.
Basically. Or maybe just a little bit of cork on the teeth, you would see in like a Disney cartoon.
Protect
as
yourself.
Well. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, the future is here, which is great news. Just celebrate it. I mean, already spring, feeling good about that. Haven't had too many effects of hay fever yet, so I'm also feeling pretty good about that.
Did you go and buy your Zyrtec? I know that was one of your things to do yesterday.
No, I've got a big medical day on the way today, actually. I'm going to go to the doctors. Yeah, no, there's a few things that have just hit ahead over the last 12 hours where I'm like, yeah, it's time to do something about that. So that's
hopefully none of them COVID-related.
No, none of them are COVID-related, which is great. Any less of COVID symptoms with all of what I'm talking about. It's just there's all this other stuff going. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
You've got everything but COVID.
Zyrtec is definitely happening today as part of that. But I haven't had any hay fever problems, but we're living in the future in that everything's going to be bright, sunny, moving towards some goalposts, and I can tell you that we are officially in the business of flying cars because there has been a test flight completed between two cities in Slovakia, 35 minutes in the air, and as we've always said on this show, we've maintained this for a long time, drones that fit people in them do not count as flying cars. This is literally, basically, it looks like a BMW in the middle of two wings. So, and in fact, it's actually even powered by a BMW engine. So this is a proper flying car.
It does have wings, though. It's not completely like Back to the Future. The wheels turn inside and then...
Good point.
And they hop. But it's... I mean, yeah. As long as it's not just a huge drone that someone sits... Essentially a flat helicopter. Yeah, I'm glad that this is... We're taking at least steps in the right direction.
Yes, no, but you're right. Good point. Well raised. This isn't exactly where we want to be. But as it's more of your James Bond flying car because it does still have some wings. It looks a little bit like a light aircraft. But at the end of the day, the front of it still looks like a car. And I think that is the most important thing at this juncture while we iron out the kinks of hover technology. Once we can get to the Jetson style, then we're truly living in the future.
Yeah, exactly right. I guess to ease us into it, we have to like present the front of what we're all doing.
Yes.
It's like, hey, look, it's still a car. Like, do you remember this? It's a car. It's not a plane. It doesn't look anything like a plane. And then obviously, how big are the wings? Are they bigger than the plane?
Look, they're obnoxiously large.
Sorry, they're bigger than the car.
They're obnoxiously large. And that's where we're obviously going to have to taper this back and get there. But what I'm telling you, Ned, is in the face of all of these dumb drone people mover things that were being suggested left, right, and center, this is more OG to what we were all thinking when we thought flying cars.
You know what?
It's 35 minutes.
35 minutes actually is insane. Was it done out in the desert or something?
No. It was done in Slovakia between two massive cities. So this is great.
Yeah, wow.
This is great news.
That is fantastic. I went because when you're a kid and when I used to see like Back to the Future 2, I thought that was like the future and obviously I had no kind of, I don't know, reference point for it. But even as closely as like 2 years ago, I remember I got a fly dropped in my mailbox for like that Wing It app.
Oh, yes.
Where drones will deliver me food and ice cream and stuff. I honestly thought my life was going to change from then. I've never ordered. I've not seen them. I've not ordered them. I thought that was going to literally take my life over.
You will think I'm making this up, but driving home yesterday to Gungahlin on the GDE, I saw it over the top of the GDE. It literally flew across and had a little package on the bottom of it. And I was like, this is great. This is phenomenal. I cannot be behind this technology more. Imagine it landing in your backyard, the kids being all excited. It would be the coolest. But as I've maintained and will continue to maintain, until that can deliver food to my balcony on my high-rise apartment building.
Yeah,
we're not there yet. We need it to actually drop off on my balcony.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a guy who has had a pretty good start of a day and has ended in not so great of a fashion. He is a player of a pretty big soccer team over where he lives. I'm pretty sure it's in South America. And before a huge game that he was about to play, he decided to bring his girlfriend out and propose to her on the spot.
Oh, wow.
Which is very nice, high risk, incredibly high risk, high reward.
I think I saw this on Instagram. I think I actually saw it. Did he pretend he was going to let her kick the ball like as some kind of thing, and then when he got down to position the ball, he actually proposed? I saw that video and everyone went
wild, that's lovely. Yeah. It's always a good one where you trick them with a knee fake.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'll get down on my knee for this reason, but actually, here's a ring.
Honestly, soccer presents a whole bunch of times where you can do that. Yeah. Slide tackle.
Yes.
You're like, oh, you've got to get up. Oh, I've injured my knee.
Probably not during the game. Just like, oh,
yeah. That's true, yeah.
Hey, come on down. Yeah, no, stop everyone. Time.
Yeah. Seat E75. Come down.
But I'm on the knee already.
The guy's proposed to his girlfriend. She's like, yep, great, love it. No worries, let's get into it. Let's get married.
Oh, great. That's wonderful.
Sign me up.
Wedding bells. That is lovely. A ring in. That's fantastic.
Doing it in front of a massive crowd, so obviously it's paid off. He's running high on adrenaline, and then he's got to go and play a soccer game. So, like, really set himself up for a pretty big game. You would imagine because of the adrenaline that he's, like, top of the world. I'm ready to go. I'm about to marry the woman of my dreams. Oh, this is incredible. They lose 5-1.
Which in soccer, that's a fairly substantial loss.
That would be like losing by like 100 points.
Oh, wow. You lost. You definitely lost.
I think that's substantial enough that if you...
Takes the shine?
It does take a... You would remember that day because it's like, sure, you lose 2-1, maybe even 3-1 on a bad day. 4-1 is like we didn't show up, but 5-1, that's like you would remember that every single time you think about like
the marriage proposal.
Oh, tell us your proposal story. It's like, oh, okay, so he got down on one knee and then played the worst game of soccer he's ever played in his life.
Did you say this is what, a professional game too?
He did
the worst at his job that he's ever done. The concept of marrying me started to take his mind off everything.
Yeah.
So it's either a really good thing that's really nice or a really bad thing, one or the other.
Imagine if he was like, babe, I'm glad that you love me because I've been fired from my soccer team, so we have zero money.
And the reason the coach has chalked up to us playing so badly is because I distracted everyone before the game.
Yeah.
In fact, there's now a moratorium. Proposal have to happen post-game. Never pre-game ever again.
There's a new rule.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a mystery planet that we haven't discovered yet in our own solar system that we are very, very much trying hard to, and it's in the news recently because scientists think they may be very close to discovering it. It's somewhere out beyond Neptune, so like out around, it's knocking out about where Pluto is.
Yep.
And so it's apparently like quite big. It's like big enough that we could actually call it a planet. It won't be like dropped off the list like Pluto was.
God, just feel so bad for Pluto. Mm-mm.
Well, here is a question that I have for you. If we're about to go back to the nine planets, I have a little bit of a question, and it very much involves Pluto.
Oh.
Pluto is a great name.
For a planet,
A planet. It's a fantastic name. We were just talking about it before. It potentially is the cutest of the planet names.
Yes.
I position to you that obviously we got rid of Pluto. It kind of sucked. It wasn't that fun for anyone. I remember being like very upset about it because I think it happened when I was like a kid and I was like, oh, well, that sucks because he's like Mickey's dog and stuff.
And that's the question I had for you quickly before we go further with this. Do we now think Pluto is a cute name because of all the like Mickey's dog and like cartoon characters, little thing? We associate it with it being cute?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Right. Very
good. But it's also like, I think it's just a cuter, like Pluto's cuter than like, I don't know, like Saturn or something, or like Jupiter. It's like a cuter word. Anyway, I position to you, if we find this ninth planet somewhere out beyond Neptune, we just take the name from this little dwarf ice planet that we've called Pluto.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we just give it to this new planet. Call it Pluto. And then essentially we're net even. If you still had one of those rhymes that was like, my very earnest man just showed us nine planets, that still works.
Yes.
We're sticking with the Plutos. I'm just saying there's a lot of benefits to potentially just going, you know what? It's like in The Simpsons when the cat died and then they just named it Snowball 2. Maybe that's what we even do. Maybe we call it Pluto 2.
No, we go with just Pluto.
Pluto's too good of a name to waste. We can't just go like, oh, well, we called a planet that, so I guess it's done. And then that's it. I guess we all set and forget about it.
I like it.
I think it very much can have a second life.
I think so too. And I think it deserves to go back to planet status. So let's take it away from current Pluto. Give it to this new planet. I like that.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say about Pluto is it's a very complicated name. Like it's a very, very complicated name.
Pluto.
We've got to work out exactly why we find it so pleasing to the ears in a cute way.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot to do with Mickey's dog, Mickey Mouse's dog. I think that's where it all comes from because it is actually named after the god of the underworld, the Roman god of the underworld. So it's
kind of a
bit grim. Then you go back to why it was named that. An 11-year-old girl suggested naming it that. So
there you go.
That's kind of, once again, back to being adorable. So the whole thing here is...
It's confusing.
A very complex name. So we've got to use it. It's got this great history. So why not, why not go with it?
In the next 5 seconds, give me a better planet name than Pluto then.
Joshtopia.
That's bad. That's so much. We might as well not call it anything.
Can we name old Pluto that once we steal its name?
No.
Okay, fine. Yeah, all right.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is an invasion of spiders currently headed towards UK homes. They've let people know that, hey, if you see some spiders or if you see a bunch of spiders in your house, try not to stress out about it. There is very much a reason for it. They have gone on to describe the spiders in a very, very peculiar way that I don't really know how they've figured it out, but they're saying that these spiders are sex crazed.
Okay.
They are randy as ever, horny as the day is long. They are...
I've seen this exact descriptor be used. I think it was used last year for the spiders. Like they can tell this super easy with spiders.
Yep. So while everyone in over in the UK is like cozying in, it seems like the spiders are also like, yeah, that's a great idea.
Very much.
If we're looking for somewhere to raise our kids, our little spider egglings. Our little spiderlings, then inside a house seems like the best place to go. I wonder, though, like, because they do say this. They tout this out a fair bit, like sex-crazed spiders. Mm. There's sex-crazed spider, horny spiders all over the UK, or everywhere, I guess. How many spiders do you need to find before you're like... So it's the species then. They're like all collectively pretty randy at the moment.
I think
because if you just find one who's pretty keen on it, that could just be like.
Here's my question to you, right? And this is, I would put this forth as a potential other side of the coin. It isn't so much we've found one of these spiders and he's like absolutely sex crazed. As a species, these spiders are right into making more spiders.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a case of you've found a lot more of the spiders? So you can deduce that they've been getting it on because there are heaps more spiders than there were. Or are you saying that scientists are getting individual spiders and going, they're absolutely out of control. This is out of control.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there are just heaps more spiders. So they're like, this has been a boom season for spiders and breeding.
Here's why I'm right. It's not even breeding season yet. We're about to go into the breeding season and then noticing the behaviours of these spiders.
What do these spiders do, a peacock thing with their legs or feathers or something? Yeah. So they can be like, so they're constantly trying to put on a mating ritual or something like this.
They must know something like that.
Because for me, if you're going to call an animal sex craze lately, it would be the mice in central western New South Wales. Stop calling that a mice plague. It sounds bad. But if you say a bunch of horny mice, everyone would be like, all right, let's get this under control.
Enough.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.